Hello and welcome once again to At the Table with Gail. It's time, weekly date with the galloping gourmet of the airwaves. There was a galloping gourmet.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, well, I am galloping a lot, actually, Peter. So, but today, I thought what we'd do, Peter, I know Christmas is well gone now, but I looked in my fridge the other day and I thought to myself, okay, you've still got some Christmas mince meat in there. And I thought, what am I going to do with that? So I then I went through my hoard of cookery books and I came across this Christmas mince meat muffins. And I thought, well, that's a good idea. I'll use it up. So I brought in the recipe today, Peter.
That's a great idea because I think everybody inevitably ends up with a bit of mince meat, and there are a lot of things that you think you can do with it. So any variation, very interesting. Off you go.
And I thought to myself, well, you could have them warm when they come out of the oven, and you could always put a little dollop of cream or something on them to make them a bit more decadent. But anyway,
you took the words right out of my mouth. I was drawing a breath then to say, and a bit of cream on the top.
But anyway, I think this was will get you about 12 muffins. So most of the muffin trays have got 12. So we're starting off with 1¾ cups of self-raising flour, 3/4 cup of caster sugar, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 2 eggs, 1/2 cup of sour cream, 1/2 cup of milk, and 1/2 teaspoon, very rigid about that, 1/2 teaspoon of rum, whiskey, or brandy essence. Not the real thing, if you've got the essence. But I'm not saying you can't use the real thing, because I have got, I think I've got some rum essence up in my, and brandy in my cupboard. You know, I wonder why I don't use it very often. Must use the real thing. But anyway,
it's a bit stingy, half a teaspoon.
It is a bit stingy. I'll leave that in your hands.
Right.
But and a good 1/2 cup of Christmas mince meat. So, you know, if you've got a little bit more than 1/2 cup, I'm sure the muffin's going to taste even better. So what we're going to do is measure the first 3 ingredients into a large bowl. That's basically dry ones. Oh, and I must mention this, you know, talking about having the mincemeat in the fridge, Peter, I actually found some sour cream too that was there. So I didn't have to run out and get any other ingredients. So with the sour cream, I thought, oh, this is meant to be. I've got sour cream and mincemeat, so there you
keeps,
are.
That keeps for a long time.
It does keep for a while, yeah. I don't know whether I actually had it for Christmas, but it was certainly there. So we're putting those, as I said, those 3 ingredients in a large bowl, in another bowl, mixed together with a whisk until smooth, the eggs, sour cream, milk, and essence of your choice. Now, without over-mixing, add the liquids to the dry ingredients and coat 12 medium-sized muffin pans with non-stick spray. Or you can put a little bit of paper in the bottom. Or I think you can actually buy little wee muffin squares, I think, that you can actually put them in the muffin trays now if you want to. But you know, just not to include any more cost, you can just spray it. And half fill the 12 pans with the mixture. Now, using a dampened spoon, make a small indentation on the top of each and put into it 1 to 2 teaspoons of the minced meat. Then you're covering that with a spoonful of the remaining mixture, trying to, you know, cover that enclosed minced meat. So what we're doing is baking at 200 degrees Celsius for about 12 to 15 minutes or until golden brown. The center should spring back when pressed, and you can serve those warm and, you know, as we said, with a little bit of cream. And actually, Peter, talking about cream, shall I give away a secret that I know about some cream that's just been discovered?
You can just tell me, Gail. I won't tell anybody.
Well, I went to a friend's place the other day and she was very excited. She's a diabetic and she was very excited to find this cream. And it's actually a thickened plant-based cream, and I'm allowed to say that it's a flora, and it's actually lentil milk. Now, and I won't go through all the ingredients or anything, but it is available and absolutely amazing, and I tried it. And honestly, it was great. So I said to her, I'm going to let the listeners know about this because there'll be people out there that won't believe this plant-based cream with lentils, lentil milk, is just great. It's in a cardboard, you know, one of those wax cardboard cartons, and probably bigger than a chocolate milk one. You know, you can buy these little individual chocolate milks, and it's probably a little bit bigger than that. I'm not sure whether it was 300 mils. I'm not sure, but anyway, if you're wandering around the section in the supermarket, just have a look.
That's good information. It's just as well you haven't said it to anybody else but me.
Yes, of course, Peter.
Top secret
stuff. Top secret stuff, yes. And so I just thought that's worth a mention. Definitely worth a mention.
Definitely.
Yes. In fact, you know, I mean, I don't really have to worry too much about plant-based stuff, but it's something that I would probably buy, to be quite honest. Now,
they sound jolly nice. Anyway, your mincemeat muffin. So you end up with this sort of hot mincemeat in the centre of the muffin. That's pretty
bite
good.
Into it, Peter. Get the nice. Yeah, lovely.
We stumbled across something a few years ago. If you got leftover Christmas cake, was it, or Christmas pudding? No, Christmas pudding.
Yes.
I think where you get a frying pan and you melt some butter, crumble the remaining pudding into that, squeeze some orange juice over the top, throw in a bit of your so-called rum, whiskey or brandy essence, or the real stuff, the real McCoy, and just fry it up and then chuck some ice cream on them.
Oh, sounds great. Nice and simple.
I think some sugar as well, anyway.
Yeah, very good.
I divert, I beg your pardon.
Oh, no, that's good. We need diversion, Peter. We need diversion to hear all these lovely little tips. Yeah, well, talking about diversion, I'm going to divert because I just brought in some biscuits this morning. Peter's already eaten one, and it was the chocolate sesame cookies. And I said to him, be honest, but if they're too ugly, please don't say anything.
Well, look, after all my sarcasm in the previous programs about you never bring anything in, yes, they were really nice. I tell you what I liked. If you watch the Bake Off programs, they're always on about soggy bottoms. I know that shouldn't apply, perhaps, to these sort of things. But they were, in fact, the bottoms were just nicely solid, you know, firm, as a cookie should be. Then the top wasn't soft and soggy. The rest of the texture, I thought, was just right. You could taste the bits of chocolate. And overall, I couldn't taste the sesame particularly, but overall, a very nice cookie because they weren't too sweet.
No. Oh, that's good. I'm really pleased about that.
So,
because I actually haven't tried one. And I must admit, your words went through my head this morning when I found out that I was mentioned last time I was here that I should really bring something in. And this recipe was sitting on my bench and I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to make these this morning and take them in. So there you are. That was my reasons.
Excellent. I can assure everybody out there they're very, very nice. I recommend make them.
Right. Okay. Thank you for that, Peter. So we'll move on to Lord of the Fries. Gee, that sounds good, doesn't it? Who needs potato chips when you can make something healthier with courgettes? So we're going to do baked parmesan courgette fries. Nice, simple recipe. And this appeals to me, but I must admit I haven't got round to doing it. But it certainly, I was talking to somebody yesterday and they said they had done some marinated courgette. So I piped up and said that, look at this recipe. This is going over, you know, my program. And so I showed it to that person and they, very nice. So half a cup of ground almond or fine instant polenta, half a cup of finely grated parmesan, you know, cheese, which you can buy already grated quite finely anyway, can't you, at the supermarket? Oh, I've got somebody opposite me that's screwing up his nose, so I don't think he'll be making these.
Oh, no, I make them, but you shouldn't buy grated. You should grate it yourself. All the best.
Oh, the parmesan?
Yes.
Yeah, but it's about $9 a block, isn't it?
Get also what you pay for.
Oh, okay. We'll leave it at that. 1.5 tablespoons of finely chopped thyme, oregano or rosemary, half a teaspoon of salt, and use herb salt if you have some, but just half a teaspoon of salt, 3 medium courgettes. Now, it helps if you get into the supermarket and you start looking for the straight ones. So, you know, that'll be your little challenge for the day because that's a lot easier to cut them up. Yeah, well, we're having a bit of fitter laughter here. So, and 1 egg lightly beaten. Now, I'm going to give you the recipe for the aioli that we're going to use with these Parmesan chips. So I'll just give you the recipe for this, very easy. And I mean, it's easy enough to buy, but anyway, this is the recipe. 2 to 3 tablespoons of good quality mayonnaise, 2 tablespoons of natural unsweetened thick yogurt, 1/2 a small clove of garlic, very finely minced, and a finely grated zest of 1/2 a lemon, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, and 1/4 of a teaspoon of smoked paprika. So we'll leave that there just for the moment because we're going to preheat our oven to 220 degrees Celsius, line a baking tray with baking paper, mix ground almonds or the polenta, parmesan, herbs and salt in a bowl, and in a separate bowl, of course, place the egg. Trim the top and bottom of the courgettes, then cut each courgette in 1/2 and then in 1/2 again lengthways, then into 1 centimetre or roughly that size, thick fingers, just like chips. Dip each courgette finger into beaten egg and then into the crumb mixture, making sure they are well coated. I usually put my crumb mixture out on a sort of like a dinner plate or something like that because it's quite easy to work that way. And of course, then you've got the beaten egg. So it says that if you want to use one hand to put it into the egg and the other hand to put it into the crumb. So yes, I'm not sure how that would work, but you could try it. And then arrange the fries on prepared baking tray and bake for 12 to 15 minutes or until they go crispy. Now remember, your oven is on 220 degrees, so it's quite high. Now we're coming down to the aioli again, because this, you know, chips and aioli are really lovely. So courgette chips or baked parmesan and courgette fries will be lovely. So all you're doing is mixing all those aioli ingredients together and season to taste with salt and freshly ground pepper, and then give it a good stir or shake if you've got it in a jar, and then serve those courgette fries hot straight from the oven with the aioli. Oh, sounds yum to me.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I'm just trying to imagine the courgettes being sort of firm enough to become a decent...
A chip. Yeah, well, I suppose with that crumb mixture around them, that will certainly crisp them up. And I don't know, have you had stir-fried courgettes? Which is a little bit different, I suppose. But
well, yes,
you're baking
I suppose
them,
so, yeah.
You're baking them, and there's no oil or anything, is there? So
No. They're
going on baking paper, so that in itself, there's no actual moisture really, apart from what's in the zucchini. And we know that they can be a bit watery, I know that when you grate them, quite a bit of water comes out. But anyway, it's worth a try.
Worth a try, Gail.
Yeah, anything's
worth it. If it's from your lips, it's got to be worth a try.
Yeah, and don't take too long sorting out your straight courgettes at the supermarket. There might be somebody else doing the same. But that's our first half of the program anyway, Peter.
All right, then. Well, we'll see what we can find for you in the way of a little bit of music.
Wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the Dance, and he, and I lead you on. Wherever you may be, and I lead you on in the dance toilet. You don't need us. Play the dancing music.
Dance, dance, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, and he, I turned black. Hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body, they thought I was gone. But I am the dance and the dance goes on. Dance, dance, wherever you may be. I am the lord of the dance, said he. And I need you all, wherever you may be. And I need you all in the dance, said he. They put me down, I looked up high. I am the life that will never, never die. I live in you, you live in me. I am the lord of the dance, said he. Dance, dance, wherever you may be. I am the lord of the dance, said he.
Well, I think I better explain that. What happened was that Gail suggested, because the her previous recipe was Parmesan courgette fries, she said, how about a track called Lord of the Fries? Don't think there is such a thing. So the best we could manage was Lord of the Dance. So that's there we are, Gail. That's all we could do for you.
Right, well, we're back. And I thought this would be rather nice. In fact, I hope you can find kumaras in the supermarket, because there certainly wasn't any a couple of weeks ago when I was looking. But kumara and cashew korma rolls. Now, these look, they look lovely. I've got an illustration here, but I'm not going to show Peter till it's finished. So, and they sound nice. Something this would appeal to me. So we've got 500 grams of kumara peeled, cut into small pieces, 1/4 cup of olive oil, 1 small red onion, chopped finely, 500 grams of silver beet stems, chopped finely, and the leaves, don't discard them, we're shredding those and using those as well. 2 tablespoons of korma curry paste, 1 cup of roasted cashews, chopped coarsely, 3/4 cup of grated tasty cheese, 1/4 cup of finely chopped coriander, and 3 sheets of puff pastry, slightly thawed and halved, because, you know, you're going to make, not sure how many it makes actually, because they're just like sausage rolls. But 3 sheets of that puff pastry ready made, or ready, you know, ready to cook. Sea salt flakes for sprinkling over, and beautiful mango chutney to serve. But I haven't got the recipe for that. So we're boiling or steaming or microwaving the kumara until tender, and I would just boil it, drain, roughly mash and refrigerate until cool. Meanwhile, heat 1 tablespoon of the oil in a large frying pan over medium heat. Cook the onion and silver beet stems, stirring for about 4 minutes or until softened. Add the silver beet leaves, cook for a further 3 minutes or until the leaves are wilted. Stir in your curry paste. Cook, stirring until fragrant, and transfer to a large bowl and just let that cool. Now, you're preheating the oven again to 200 degrees Celsius, so reasonably high. Line 2 large oven trays with baking paper. And, I mentioned baking paper. And I know that if you're using baking paper like I did this morning when I was making the cookies, I don't just throw it away because it's had biscuits on it. You know, you can brush off the crumbs and reuse your baking paper if it's not, you know, going to be a lot of grease or stuff over it. You can actually use it again. So it doesn't have to end up in the rubbish bin just because you've made something. If it's still nice, fold it up and use it again. Combine the mashed kumara, silver beet mixture, cashews, cheese and coriander in a large bowl and season to taste. Now you're spreading 3/4 cup of the mixture down one side of the pastry sheet. So essentially you're making sausage rolls, basically, but these are special. So, and then you roll to enclose and place the seam side down on the prepared tray. Repeat with the remaining mixture and pastry. Now, you're brushing each roll with a teaspoon of oil, or just have it on a plate. Got a pastry brush, or use your fingers if you haven't got a pastry brush, and sprinkle with salt flakes. Now, basically, get a knife and you're scoring. You know, I hope people know what scoring is, that you're just slitting it, yeah, a little bit along that roll. So if you think you're going to get four rolls out of it, of one long roll, just slit it, and basically that means you'll have four because you'll cut it at the slit or something. Just my suggestion anyway. So these rolls take 25 minutes or until puffed and golden, and cool on the tray for 10 minutes. And there you are. And I have got an illustration here, and I'm going to show it to Peter, and having it with mango chutney. And these look beautiful. They just look like sausage rolls, but they are going to have a very, very different taste.
I'm looking at the picture. Yeah, they do look rather nice, don't they? And the kumara is still quite visible there, isn't
it? Yes, it is. So it's something different. No meat involved. And if you want to turn those into vegan sausage rolls, I'm sure you can, because you can buy vegan pastry, to be quite honest.
Oh, yeah. Right.
If you want to.
Yeah.
It's just, and vegan cheese. So you can turn them in. All those other ingredients are pretty safe.
Well, it's an interesting variation on a sausage roll.
It is, and a nice one.
Our sausage rolls are getting more popular here. When we came out here 8 years ago or so, really, sausage, people didn't seem to know much about sausage rolls, except your sausage rolls, Kiwi sausage rolls, because they're a lot bigger than the
yes,
UK.
Yes.
These are much more like a British sausage roll, you know, about 2.5 centimetres diameter and that. Whereas the biggie ones you get...
They're actually a meal, just about.
You're right. That's
if you had a bit of mashed potato and peas with them, you could have it for tea. But because just last year, I think, Peter, they had a sausage roll competition.
Oh, they did, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yes.
People going around tasting the sausage rolls from various bakeries, which was interesting.
They did, in fact. I think they're just wonderful things, sausage rolls.
Yeah, I quite like them too. So I'm going to move on now. This is interesting, Peter. Chocolate avocado mousse. And I was at a friend's place the other night, and late afternoon actually, and basically she brought this out after we'd had a few nibbles and a couple of bubbles because it was catch-up time. And I couldn't believe it that she'd made these with avocados, this chocolate mousse, which was amazing. So beautifully tasted. We only just had a little bit in a nice little wee glass dish, so it wasn't a lot, and you wouldn't need a lot because it's quite rich, really. But all you're having is two ripe avocados chopped, 200 grams of good quality dark eating chocolate, and then just break that into to pieces. Half a cup of milk, and that can be, well, we're not particularly worried about the milk, but what did she use? I actually rang her up and asked her, and now I can't remember what she used. I said, what did you use in that mousse? Because I'm going to put this recipe over the radio. And I think it might have been almond milk. I think it might be. But anyway, you've got the choice. You've got cow's milk, almond milk, or coconut milk.
So, exactly, these days, all sorts of milk.
That's right,
so you
all
hardly need
milk.
Cows these
that's
days.
So basically, and you need 2 tablespoons of liquid honey or pure maple syrup. Now, I can tell you that she did actually put maple syrup in it, so not the honey. So really, what you're doing is melting the chocolate over hot water in a glass bowl or microwave very, very carefully. Now, I'm just looking at my notes here, and I think my friend put in a tablespoon of cocoa powder as well, but that's optional, but I think she did actually do that. So, very optional. But you're melting the chocolate, as I said, over hot water, and for some reason they always say don't let the bowl touch the hot water. I don't know what that does to the chocolate. But I've always successfully melted chocolate in the microwave, because I'm very careful, you know, you just buzz it seconds at a time, like minimal, and then just stir it and then go in again. It's worth the trouble. Or if you want to do it, you can just, you know, put it on in a pot But that's the way I do it. Now, you're placing the avocado and melted chocolate in a food processor and blend together until smooth whilst pouring in the milk. Keep blending until the mousse is very smooth and creamy. And just taste it. And, of course, this is when you can add your maple syrup because this is your sort of basic sweetness. So I would definitely add the honey or the maple syrup. You don't have to, but I like, you know, sweet stuff, so I'd put it in myself. And then, basically, you're spooning it into little serving glasses and chill in the fridge for 10 to 15 minutes, so you can make it just really not long before people come, and garnish with fresh berries, and we had blueberries, and it was beautiful. But there's one thing that I was told, that it's best to eat it on the same day because it's beautiful and creamy, but I think if you leave it in the fridge, it might sort of set sort of quite firm, and chocolate mousse, as we know, is meant to be nice and creamy. And so best eaten fresh, freshly made.
Oh, well, that's a great one, that one, isn't it? It's very simple. And it's one of these things you think about, who's that fellow, Heston Blumenthal, who comes up with all sorts of, no, you don't know the name. He
no,
comes
I
up
don't.
With all sorts of weird and wonderful mixtures.
Oh.
So you immediately think, well, no, but avocados, well, chocolate and avocado.
I know. It's just incredible. And avocados can get so cheap.
They certainly can, and we all know that you can sort of mash them up and they go lovely and creamy in any anyway. I think it's a great one to try, and you could even sprinkle some nuts in it, couldn't you?
I think you've gone too far. You could probably put a few minimal over the top if you're wanting to make it look pretty, but no, I wouldn't put it through. Chocolate mousse is smooth, Peter. And it doesn't say smooth with nuts.
Okay, all okay. Right. All right, keep my mouth shut.
So, yes, and I think that's about us today. I've exhausted my supply of recipes.
Gail, that's fantastic. So we've had Christmas mincemeat muffins, which is an excellent idea at this time of year. That half a jar of mincemeat that's sat at the back of the fridge.
That's right.
That
yes, it
probably
is.
It will keep till next Christmas if you.
Well, it probably does because it's made that way, isn't it?
Scrape the mould off.
Yeah.
And then what do we have? Parmesan courgette fries. Now they sound an interesting one.
Lord of the fries, as we said. Lord of the fries. Yeah.
Ouch. Followed by Kumara.
Kumara. Oh yeah. Isn't Kumara a place in Australia?
Well, you've written in your recipe, one spelt Kumara, and then the one I read was Kumira.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Oh well. Never mind.
Me.
Yeah.
That's, I should know better. Doesn't really know. We're not talking about.
Yes,
and then you
do.
Finally your chocolate avocado mousse.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Quite varied.
Yes. Good
yeah,
selection.
Quite
there.
Varied. Yeah.
All right, Gail. Well, thank you very much for coming in. And,
pleasure.
An even bigger thank you for bringing in your chocolate brownies.
Oh, well, that's all right.
I wonder if there's any left. Up
yeah. Okay. See you next time, Peter.
Yeah,
thank you.
See you next time. Bye for now.
This program is made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.